This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's time for Hardware. As we continue to stream live on the ESPN app, you've got us on SiriusXM 371, an assortment of other radio stations. We have a ton of guests coming your way, but Wes, once again, you and me, this whole operation, we kept our mouths shut. Mm-hmm. Not one leak. Again, we're batting 1,000 when it comes to giving out awards. I'm proud of that. Who says we can't keep a
all
secret?
Right. We have got four individual awards to honor in men's lacrosse for the Atlantic Coast Conference. Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year, and, of course, the Coach of the Year. We're going to start with the Offensive Player of the Year, a four-time ACC Offensive Player of the Week. And if you followed our coverage of lacrosse, probably isn't a surprise that Chris Gray of North Carolina, the senior from the state of New York, is the ACC Player of the Year on offense at 77 points and 42 goals, which both lead the conference. Twice this year, he scored 6 goals in a game against Denver in the season opener and again against Mercer on March the 6th. So Chris Gray of the top seed Tar Heels is the Offensive Player of the Year, Pack.
He is spectacular, and not only does he score, he distributes, and he is going to cause something. When he's got the ball, something mm-hmm. good normally happens for North Carolina.
Yep, you're right about that. Defensive Player of the Week comes from Notre Dame and Kevin Corrigan's team. Jack Kielty, a 6'2 grad student, Morristown, New Jersey, leads a Notre Dame defensive unit, which is tops in the ACC, allowing 8.47 goals per game. He's had 13 ground ball scoops and has been a real cog in what Notre Dame has done this year to work their way into the tournament. So our congratulations to Jack Kielty of the Irish on being the ACC's Defensive Player of the Year.
And Notre Dame is a 6 seed in the big tourney. And let me tell you something. They are a dangerous 6. There's a lot of folks that mm-hmm. believe that even though North Carolina is the number one overall seed, that Notre Dame might be the team to keep an eye on, even though they're a 6 seed. Now, again, this is going to get cranked up on Friday. It's going to be tremendous with the NCAA tournament. But keep an eye on the Irish.
All right. Jack Kielty, by the way, going to join us at 9:15 this morning. From South Bend. The Freshman of the Year comes from Duke and John Donowski's program, and that's Brennan O'Neill from Bayshore, New York. Had a great year for Duke as a freshman on the way to a share of the regular season crown. 38 goals, good enough for second in the league, trailing just the Player of the Year and Chris Gray, Mark.
Yep. Boy, there's so many good teams, so many good players, right? We just keep harping on this over and over and over. All five teams that played, all five are in the big tournament, and you got them seeded, what, 1, 2, 4, 6, and Syracuse.
Yeah.
Telling you, man, grab your popcorn. This is going to be something else.
Yep. The Coach of the Year in the ACC comes from the top-seeded Tar Heels. Now in his 13th year is Joe Bresci. He becomes the ACC's Coach of the Year after Carolina went 11-2 in the regular season, shared the ACC title, top seed in the tournament for the first time since 1993. Carolina's first appearance since 2017, and they'll be trying to win a national title for the first time since 2016. His squad is first in the conference in goals per game this season with an eye-popping 17.08, two better than second place Duke.
You like offense, you're going to love the Heels. If you like some scoring, boys, I'm telling you,
let's
break. Every time they come after, they are really – I'm telling you, we've kind of gotten hooked on this lacrosse thing. We've gotten the bug because, number one, the league's so good. Number two, we're covering it every morning. But you can't help but love the ACC the way they play. They got depth. They got speed. Yep. They got size. They're physical. And, again, teams 1, 2, 4, 6 in Syracuse in the NCAA tournament coming up.
All right. We had a chance to visit with Joe Bresci. And we said, we understand all this is a team deal, but in the end, Coach of the Year sure qualifies the type of season that you and your team have had this year.
Yeah, we're so fortunate. And, you know, I think as a team, we always talk about no one's bigger than the program and the way the guys played and the coaching staff worked. It's so awesome to be recognized like that as a group.
Well, it's been incredible to watch, and I kind of feel like we've gotten on the bandwagon late since neither Wes nor I have ever been lacrosse nuts. But, man, the league's been so good, and it really doesn't even matter what the combination of teams are on any given day in this conference, Coach. And I can't only help but think that that is going to help everybody in the NCAA tournament. The quality's been unbelievable, and now, hey, tag, you're it. You're the number one seed. Let's go. But that regular season and everything else has got to help you in the tournament.
There's no question. I mean, you look at us playing six regular season ACC games, all five teams getting in the NCAA tournament, and, you know, as a one seed, two seed, four, six, and 12, in essence, with Syracuse. I mean, just great talent across the board. Everyone is loaded with upperclassmen, and you know, it should bode well for the NCAA tournament for all the teams, you know, but certainly for us. I mean, you talk about battle tested, it was week in and week out, so we're you know, we're just preparing as if it's a one game season, which it is.
Joe, how do you handle uncharted water here? How do you handle being the number one seed? Do you talk to your team? And I asked this question yesterday of other coaches. How do you process what's happened in the regular season and now go to the postseason with expectations and anticipation and all the other things mentally that build up?
Well, it's interesting. That's a great question. I think what we've been fortunate enough to have is 17 seniors and an upperclassmen group that has just been dialed in from the get-go. They've kept the young guys moving in the same direction. You know, I think so the success we've had coming off the ACC, a share of the ACC regular season championship, and the success we've had there. You know, there's been pressure every week when you play in the ACC, and I think from our perspective, it's just really focusing on the task at hand, how we prepare, less about what or who we're playing, and more about how we're going to get the result that we'd like. So we respect every opponent, but we really worry about ourselves and our preparation each week.
Joe, what's it like walking down the hall? Everybody's a one seed in lacrosse in that town, man. Well, you guys have cornered the market.
I tell you, you know, the coolest thing was the other night when it was Selection Sunday, and I drove in about 7:30, had been watching a little bit of the field hockey national championship with Coach Shelton and her squad, which is ridiculously talented. And I drive in and come into the office, and the players are watching it on TV. They're over at the stadium, which is right across from our office. But you just hear the roar of them winning the national title and our student-athletes just jumping for joy. And within 10 minutes, you know, men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse are the number one seed. You have women's tennis, the number one seed. Men's tennis is sixth. Both soccer programs are in the top four, and championships for them. I mean, just talent across the board. And some people say, you know, is there a lot of pressure coaching in Carolina? I said, the pressure's the coaches next to you, to the right and the left, who are having so much success that you're just like, I want to do that.
I tell you, the other part about this is now you're in a spot where, you know, Jenny's done such a good job on the women's side. You've obviously done a great job with the men's. Karen's been successful with now 9 national championships. If you got any questions about, you know, something new developing, like being the number one overall seed, you just call somebody, right? Call Karen, figure out what it is, you know, dial up Coach Williams, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you know, that's the beauty of working here and being a part of this athletic department. I mean, Bubba Cunningham's done a phenomenal job of having coaches who are so talented and great people and so willing to help out. You know, we've worked with Mac Brown's, met with recruits, met with our team. Roy Williams has. I'm on the horn with Hubert Davis. Oh, by the way, Anson has 22-plus national championships, so yeah, he can help us out too. And Jenny's been fantastic as well. So we're just thrilled, and I think our student-athletes are just having the time of their life.
Yesterday, Paul Carcaterra joined me on the radio show, and we were going through all the brackets, doing a little lacrosse love in the afternoon radio. And I said, Kark, at the end of the day, this crystal ball is, you know the sport inside and out. How many ACC teams could get to the Final Four? And he said, I'm going to go with 3, but it would not be crazy to think all 4. Now, that is a ridiculous comment from a guy that really knows the sport, but it also tells you how ridiculous this league is. I mentioned to you all five getting in and being battle tested and so forth, but I think that's exactly what the expectation level is. I know it is in your place, and it is at every ACC school that's down in the NCAA tournament here.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, I think all of us are battle tested, and I think that's the biggest challenge that we have is going into the games and just being prepared for the next opponent. I think we're all spread out. We're all, you know, we could have four of the five teams in the Final Four. And again, there are so many talented teams out there overall. But I think from our perspective and the rest of the ACC, you know, we've gone through the gauntlet in the last 6 weeks. And, you know, it's been a I tell you what, the one thing I'm happy about is that we had a weekend off. You know, we're nursing through some injuries and so forth. But, you know, as we said, at the very least, we have this weekend coming up. And you know, we'd love to get to Memorial Day if we possibly can. But our guys know it's 1 week at a time, one game at a time. And, you know, I, with the schedule we've had, it's just been one of those cool rides to play really meaningful lacrosse week in and week out with the ACC schedule.
All right, Coach, here's the deal. I've got a couple things. First one is this. For folks who are dialing in, Pack and I have tried to engage people because we've enjoyed watching. Now we're getting to the postseason. Your offense is the calling card of this program. Some call it a work of art. What would you call it? What's the secret sauce, if you can, about your team and what you do on the field when games get going?
Well, I give so much credit to Coach Metzbauer, our offensive coordinator. I call it poetry in motion. You know, we do a incredible job of sharing the ball. We are at our best when we share the ball offensively and play selfless lacrosse. And it really starts with Chris Gray, who was just ridiculously talented, so humble, continues to give his teammates credit for all his accolades. And he's just that kind of guy. When you have your best offensive player distributing and making everybody around him better, you're built for success. And you know, I can't, you know, he's a captain for us. He's, you know, our best offensive player. But at the end of the day, you know, when we win, he credits everybody for doing their part. And that's what makes the offense special. And Coach Metz just does a tremendous job for us of setting the table and preaching that selfless lacrosse.
Coach, I'm just curious.
Here's the second.
Go ahead, Wes.
I wanted to say, here's the second part of this. Now, Gray's a fabulous player. That's why he's the player of the year in the league, and you got a great team. But, you know, we do a few things on this program that are a little unique, and we've enjoyed having you, but Packer collects stuff. I don't know if you've realized this. You know, Karen Shelton sent a couple sticks. There's a third one on the way. We got a Notre Dame fencing helmet. If you could share one of those black jerseys with Packer or either one of those chrome lacrosse helmets with the Ramesses on the side, because Mark's a traditionalist at heart. Now, I kind of like the chrome and the black. Pack's more of a, he likes the Carolina blue and the white. If you're going to go around, he wants the light blue and the white. So I'm thinking maybe we need to send one of the black jerseys or one of the chrome helmets down to Packer just so he can, you know, have that for the basement.
I'm going to do it. I'll do it. Absolutely. And I'll take care of you. And my big thing is that it's behind you guys so we can see it.
All right. Well, let me tell you something, Coach. Here's the incentive I'm going to give to you and your team. All right. I'm going to give it to you right now, live on ACC Network. Behind my head is the University of Virginia's 2019 lacrosse national championship team, which has got signatures of every player. I'll tell you what, as the one seed, if you close the deal, this is the standard, all right? And here's what, this bad boy sits here right behind me every day. That is your incentive right there. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Trust me, I see that every day when I watch your show. and I'm inspired to either get you a Carolina blue jersey, because I know you didn't like the black, and I'll get you a helmet. And the chrome helmets are pretty sweet.
Yeah, but I want to tell you
a quick story about the black uniform, though.
All right, go for it.
We went up to the Carrier Dome, and it was a big game. We were 1-2 in the ACC at the time, so it was a huge game for us. And, you know, we go out and warm up. We have our navy blue shorts on. And I told the guys, hey, we have our Carolina blue shorts in the locker, or Carolina blue tops in the locker room. So they have senior day. And I said, we don't traditionally go in the locker room before the game. I said, guys, we're going to go in. And I had the managers put up all the black uniforms, and the place erupted when they walked in there. So it was really cool experience for them. They came out and shot the lights out of it and had a great day. So at the end of the day, I'll take those black unis. I'll take the W for sure.
Whatever it takes for the W, that's all I know, especially this time of the year. But that helmet is going to be your incentive now, all right? Listen, you can hang, just chill out with the merchandise until the season's over. And if you're pulling a Karen Shelton special and celebrating and dogpiling in the middle of the field, well, that's what we're going to expect from you, all right? That's the deal.
Fair enough. It's a deal.
I love it. We wish you the best, and congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations on being the coach of the year. Appreciate you joining us. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Number one seeds everywhere in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
You got lacrosse, you're number one seed.
Great job.
Yeah. Awesome.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We gave the offense all the love. Let's give some defense some love.
Let's get stoppers in here.
That's it.
Can we get a guy to stop this thing? Jack Kielty is the ACC Defensive Player of the Year in lacrosse, and Notre Dame is a sixth seed in the tournament, despite being ranked number four in the country. Jack joins us this morning from South Bend. First of all, appreciate the time. Congratulations. I think the semester's over. Is the semester over in South Bend? We got the academic calendar right on this, Jack. You guys now just all lacrosse, or are we still doing some exams?
No, we're still academic weapons for a couple more days here.
And there's no cutting corners. No cutting corners in South Bend, my man. Nuh-uh. That ain't happening. All right, let's get to this. Wes and I have become addicted to lacrosse. The league is ridiculously good, right? It's just unbelievable. But you know what? To be the defensive player of the year in this conference, this particular year, you got to be one tough dude now. This sport is tough. It's fast. It's physical. And the fact that you're smiling when I say that tells me everything I need to know about your answer. I'm not even sure what the question is, but you love it, don't you? I mean, there's nothing better than having a stick and an attitude that, hey, my job today is to shut somebody down, right? That's got to be a mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it started with having two older brothers who were defensemen and a dad who was a middle linebacker. It's a mentality. It's a certain mindset and egoless clarity to, you know, execute your role, whether that be shutting a really great player down or, you know, playing an off-ball scheme within a defense. So, yeah, there's certainly a mentality that comes with playing defense at this level.
Jack, in many ways, people are attracted to the sport, I guess, like Mark and I, because of the scoring, because of the offense, the flow of it. So mentality-wise, you've talked about. Physically, what's it like trying to stop this stuff? I mean, you got to have a plan, obviously. You can change scheme, that kind of thing. But what's the key integer in getting something like that done?
Yeah, well, I think specifically in the ACC, you just talked to Coach Bresci, you know, teams have incredible offenses that are way more than just individual Dodgers, playing hero ball. So when it comes to stopping some of these, you know, offenses, obviously you got to start with how you can guard their players, but schematically it takes a lot more. And I think that's where we've, kind of thrived as a Notre Dame defense. Defense is understanding that 80% of offensive possession, you're off ball. So how can you affect, you know, the course of that offensive possession without guarding? That's really difficult, especially in the ACC. So I think it comes to, you know, understanding what they want to get, understanding what we have to do to not allow that to happen, and then just, you know, limiting as much as we can the opportunities that come about throughout a possession.
Jack, the old cliche is defense wins championships. Now, some folks in college football would say that's completely changed here because it's such an offensive game. We think of lacrosse as an offensive game. So does that cliche, defense wins championships, does that apply to the sport that you play?
I think absolutely. But I think I'd go one step further and say teamwork just wins championships. You know, if you look at offense, offense doesn't start with the shot clock being there. It starts with a goalie save, clearing the ball, and then getting the guys on the field that you need to get on to play offense. Mm-hmm. So I think when people say defense wins championships, it's not necessarily, you know, shutting down an opposing offense. It's can you do all the steps that lead up to a great offensive possession where you can score? Because ultimately the team who scores more wins that game and ultimately wins the championship. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that term is more all-encompassing than most look at it to be. You know, obviously playing great defense can make or break a game. But playing great defense doesn't just mean the other team, you know, doesn't score. It means, you know, it gives our offense a better opportunity to score later down that road.
Jack, I was reading a piece last night from Inside Lacrosse from back in February. I guess you guys had a former Notre Dame football player and Navy SEAL come talk to the team. And it was about being selfless. And the article went on to write about you and Liam Entman and guys who buy into that as part of the success here. Well, now you're getting back to this stage, the NCAA tournament, all this type of evolution in a season that's been unlike any other for obviously the pandemic and that type deal. How much does that characteristic help you now? I mean, you're the sixth seed. You've already said it's about great teamwork in terms of what you guys do defensively. How important is it to understand that selfless characteristic at this time of year?
Yeah, I think it's everything. You know, as this postseason run kind of goes, you know, having a selfless mentality can make or break a team. And I think the best teams throughout the country, that's what they try and embody. And I think when I think of selflessness, I really think of, you know, the 20-plus guys on my team who – nobody ever hears about, you know, we call it our gold squad. You know, our gold squad is the team that gives us the scout look throughout the entire week. And then on game days, they're standing on the sideline watching us play. When I think of selflessness, I think of that group of individuals who know they're never going to get mentioned, you know that the recognition will go to somebody else. But in the end, they're who make or break our team. They're the ones who give us the opportunity to be prepared on a Saturday or Sunday. So I think being a selfless group of guys who are fully bought in can really decide if you're going to win or lose on game day.
Jack, you guys knew you were going to go to the NCAA tournament. When those seedings and pairings were unveiled, I know there probably wasn't a sense of relief, and you're going to hopefully answer this, because you knew you were in. But were you surprised at the sixth spot? I mean, was that one of those, or I know it's, hey, we're in, let's go play, we got to beat everybody. But the initial reaction when you saw Notre Dame number six seed, what was that with the team?
Yeah, it was a little surprising. You know, we thought we would be a little bit higher of a seed, but, you know, after that initial thought, I mean, the thought is you got to beat everybody to win. And whatever the order of which you play in, doesn't really matter. You know, you get everybody's best every game in this NCAA tournament because it's win or go home. So, you know, yeah, initially I was a little surprised to see that we were the sixth seed. But ultimately that doesn't really matter. You know, you're going to have to beat four great teams to win a national championship. And the seeding doesn't necessarily count towards how, you know, difficult or easy those games are going to be.
All right, Jack, I know Pac's got the question for you. We ask every student athlete on this show, but we have known of Coach Cargan, and our families have been friends with the Cargans for more years than we care to admit. Wouldn't you say, Pac?
That would be true.
So you got any scoop on Kevin for us, Jack?
I'm still a student athlete here, so I can't say too much.
Okay, all right. All right. Okay.
He's great. I mean, he's everything you'd want a coach to be. He's tough on you when he has to be. You know he's got your back, and he holds you accountable. I mean, that's, those are the three things you need in a coach, and he, without question, has those three characteristics. So, you know, after I graduate, maybe I'll give you some more stories, but in the meantime, I'll leave it at that.
I tell you, that was
his mom's going to be so proud, isn't she, Pac? Lena's going to be so proud that Jack just said that.
Yeah, Lena will be proud. But I know this much. Jack just gave you a veteran savvy move right there. That's a man that knows the rules right there. You mentioned you still got a little more academics to knock out here. So that said, that leads us to our question. And we ask this to every student athlete in the ACC that appears on the show. Since you've been at Notre Dame, Jack, what has been your hardest class?
Ooh.
Well, that's I'd say, honestly, most recently, I finished it yesterday morning. So I'm in a master's program for nonprofit administration, and I had to take a course on fund development, which is pretty all-encompassing in terms of, you know, fundraising, strategic planning, whatever it may be. And man, it was hard. It was really hard. So I would say that one probably, you know, maybe recency bias plays a factor in that, but it certainly was challenging.
Well, that's, I got to be honest with you. We've been doing this show now, 383 versions of it on television, and that is a first. We've not had that as an answer yet. So that, I always like new classes that challenge the brightest and the best that we've got in this conference. And that certainly was the case. Listen, great watching you play and your team all year. This tournament coming up is going to be unbelievable. I mean, there's so many good teams. And we wish you nothing but the best. Good luck finishing up the classes and all that good stuff. But can't wait to see what happens this weekend and beyond.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate you both having me on.
You got it.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
The show we're having, it's been a good
texting,
time today. Jack
texting,
Kelsey was awesome.
He was excellent. Excellent.
He was excellent. Joe Bresci's always fun to visit with. I can't wait to see the chrome helmet. How about the inspiration you've provided with the decor behind you?
I am here to get everybody motivated moving forward. And you know what? The standard in men's lacrosse in the basement is the UVA helmet behind me, signed by every national championship member. That is the standard. This league has the potential to win another national championship in men's lacrosse, women's too. And so if you want to win it all, send something in the basement. You know what? Lars Tiffany, University of Virginia, is the standard by which everyone will be measured in the basement. Just telling you.
I have one quick question. Was that not the first item we were sent for the basement?
Yes, even before we started the television show, I remember getting it in the mail, and I opened it because I didn't know what it was. And I opened it and went, wow, isn't this cool? And I remember putting it on my head and sending you a picture and going, hey, we got our first piece of stuff for the basement. Because that was one of the running jokes, wasn't a joke, but it was themes, was that we wanted schools to send us stuff. And then we'd plastered all over the basement. And Virginia jumped all over it, Jim Daves and Lars Tiffany, because Lars was such a fun guest even before we started doing this TV thing.
Yeah.
And that appeared at the house, and that was the first item, to my knowledge, that we received from a school. And the rest is history. There you go.
So there you go. All right. So obviously we're on the clock with Joe Bresci, right? He's going to send us one if they win.
And
that's the deal.
Hey, on the clock for everybody. I mean, listen, Duke's a 2 seed. Virginia's a 4 seed. Notre Dame's a 6 seed. Yeah. Syracuse is in the dance. And that's just the men's side. The women's side's the same old deal, right? We got number 1 seed overall is North Carolina. So, I mean, this is going to be go time. If you're a lacrosse junkie, it doesn't get any better than what's getting started Thursday and Friday and all weekend long and into the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a tremendous run to a championship.
All right, hour one today, we kind of gave you some Since Dirt that we've had during the course of the athletic season. Of course, we started Since Dirt back in the fall, I guess, is the first time you offered us a Since Dirt. Is that right?
That's probably right. But I thought that we would start incorporating hashtag Since Dirt, of things that have never, ever happened before in this league. And We have compiled quite a list here in the last couple months.
Yeah. Well, no doubt about that. We gave you a few earlier, and of course it came back to mind this week when Valerie Cagle of Clemson became the first ever player to be softball's player of the year and the freshman of the year. So when that happened, since Dirt, we decided to maybe investigate the list and see what's happened. Well, we can go all the way back to the start of football season. That's kind of where, you know, this whole idea germinated of since Dirt. And Wake Forest hosted College Game Day, week one of the season. We kicked off the college football season with Game Day at Wake Forest for the first time since Dirt.
That's right.
Deacons did a great job hosting Clemson that night, and the atmosphere different, tailgate parties around Truist Field for John Curry.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest of days either weather-wise, and people still came out and had a good time. And they get the cutouts rocking and rolling, doing the thing. So, yeah, that was a since Dirt in Switzerland. No question.
Yeah. Virginia Tech's Jacory Patterson ran the fastest 400 meters in the ACC since Dirt.
That's right.
First Hokie to break 45 seconds in the 400 meters.
That's flying. That is flying. Man, that is quick. I don't think the Ford F-150 can do that. I'm going to be honest with you. Of course, you can't do it right now because I don't have any gas. Well, the state of North Carolina apparently shut down with gasoline. But, no, he's flying. You kidding me? Jacory is just feet never hit the ground.
Yep. Brennan Armstrong of Virginia became the first Cavalier quarterback to record back-to-back 400-yard games of total offense. This is a guy to keep an eye on. We keep talking about the depth of the league.
Yep.
QB play, going to be really interesting.
And I remember that when that happened, that stat surprised me because you're just thinking, well, over the course of the years, I mean, somebody surely went back-to-back with four Bills thrown in the yard, right? But no, wrong answer. Brennan Armstrong, a little since Dirt right there.
Yeah. Peter Dirth of Syracuse, a defensive midfielder, first player ever to be named captain three times.
And that's a big deal.
For the Orange.
Yeah, and that's a big deal.
Tell the truth.
This is a place that knows, loves, respects the game. Great tradition, great history, great legacy. And when you're the captain three times, you're somebody. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Back to volleyball. Pittsburgh reached the Elite Eight for the first time since Dirt. Kayla Lund also became the first ACC volleyball player to win Player of the Year two times.
We have really enjoyed our conversations with Kayla during her career at Pittsburgh. And I know I still go back to their loss against Washington to be eliminated. They were so close, up two sets to nil, if you will, and that close to advancing. But she has been a joy to talk to on this show. She is a wonderful young lady, and she's going to have great success no matter what she decides to do in the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. Notre Dame scored 201 points in the NCAA fencing championship.
That's right.
Most points since Dirt.
That's right.
There's the mask.
That's the mask, and we've got the mask. We've got the mask. And I'm telling you, we got some cool stuff here in the basement, but that mask probably doesn't do it justice on television. But I'm just telling you, in person, if I was going to give a grand tour of the basement, the mask might be one of the things you immediately go to and want to try on because you're like, for folks that have, I mean, most people have not had any dealings with fencing ever. I haven't. But that mask now, I'm telling you, when you put it on, you can't realize the sturdiness. It makes sense. I mean, you got a guy putting a sword in your face, so you got to figure you better have some protection. But it is really, really, when you finally get back here to the basement, Wes, when they finally kick you out of Cartersville, whether it be Vicky or ACC or ESPN, and you come up back here to the basement, I'm telling you, you're going to walk in here because you haven't been here since March of last year, but you're going to walk in here and you're going to immediately put your hands on the fencing mask and go, wow, I never thought. I mean, I'm just telling you, it is really cool. Cool.
It's a great look, by the way, behind you. I still can't believe we got it, but that's the whole thing.
Well, Muffet, let's give Muffet McGraw and the Notre Dame folks all the credit. Muffet said, "I'll take care of this for you," and she did.
Yeah.
And the Muffet handwritten notes up there on the new notepad board, which is getting fuller and fuller. Another fuller. Muffet took care of it, the coaches and the staff and everybody at Notre Dame did a great job. So I prominently display it back there over the top of my shoulder. Yeah. You can see the ND gleaming with the TV lights here in the basement.
Yeah, looks good.
Yep, it's cool.
That's good. By the way, NC State women's basketball, number one seed in the NCAA tournament. First time since Dirt for Westmore and the Wolfpack.
Yep.
There you go.
No doubt.
Pretty good.
He's built a great program, and they're not going anywhere either. Ooh. You think that's going to be the last time you see that? You'd be wrong.
Yeah. North Carolina became the first ACC school since Dirt to hire three alums as the head men's basketball coach. There you go. Hubert Davis, the latest.
And the first African-American coach, too, right?
Mm.
Ever since Dirt.
There you go.
He took a great deal of pride when we had him on. We talked about that. Curious to see how that's going
to
play out.
Looking forward to having him back as the offseason kicks in. Yep,
you know, me too. It's going to be interesting to watch North Carolina, right? In this crazy transitional world with the transfer portal, you go from one legend with Roy Williams. Again, it's always tough to follow a legend. I don't care what the sport is. But if there's anybody that knows what North Carolina is all about, it's that guy, Hubert Davis. He gets it as a player, coach, fan, loves the institution, and that will be an interesting follow here for the next couple of years and beyond.
Yep. Jeff Wall is also a guy who we've enjoyed visiting with. Louisville's women's basketball program, 116 points over DePaul. That's the most points for them since Dirt.
Gosh.
And that's a program not going anywhere either, right?
Well, listen, they've been here for a while. Louisville women's basketball is the real deal. And DePaul needs to work on their defense. I mean, that sounds like Mark Packers are out there trying to play zone. Buck 16, that's a bunch. That's a bunch, Wes.
Yep. So, Jeff Walls. And then the last one here, Pack. First time since Dirt, John Calipari lost to a former assistant coach. And it happened last year, State Farm Arena. One of the early markers for Georgia Tech on the way to an interesting season for Josh Pastner came when they beat the Cats.
It was also an interesting marker to realize how terrible Kentucky was last year. Big Blue Nation, a year to forget. I think they were 0-4 against the Atlantic Coast Conference. But her Coach Pastner, the face shield, again, which is right behind us as well, on its way to an ACC championship. What a run it was in the ATL. No doubt.
Hey. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment, but very important news coming your way, Mr. Durham.
Really?
Yeah, really? It's involving your family. You wake up.
Yes.
Pay attention.
My son, Will, graduates today, commencement day for graduation exercises for the Durhams. My son graduates today from Kennesaw State, degree in business. Yeah, pomp and circumstance. In the rain, by the way, Fifth Third Bank Stadium, outdoor graduation, and we have rain today in the forecast.
Hey.
So I'll be standing there with the 64-inch golf umbrella and watching commencement exercises. There you go.
Wes.
How about that?
Wes, some people feel the rain, others get wet. I'll let you figure that one out. Some people feel the rain. Others just get wet. Give you a little Bob Marley there
nice.
For you.
Well done. So congratulations to my son, Will. My daughter, Emily, is an alum of an ACC institution at Florida State, gainfully employed. And will soon be, but that's another story for potentially Friday's show.
Friday's show.
As they say in this business. All right. One stat per game for the two ACC softball games. Our coverage starts at 1 o'clock from the ACC softball championships. Mike Cousin, Carol Brueggemann will be there for us. Georgia Tech, Syracuse meet for the first time this season. Their four-game ACC series postponed, never made up due to weather. Georgia Tech comes in riding a five-game winning streak. Syracuse has lost seven of the last eight, but the win pack was against Clemson.
That's right. They snapped the streak. But listen, I think everybody has the anticipation of a Clemson-Florida State, but they've got to get there, right? And we always talk about that deal. Oh, it's one versus two. It's a piece of cake. The two best teams. Well, I got news for you. Duke, Virginia Tech, and others are like, no. It's our turn to be the spoiler here. So it starts today. Should be a blast. But obviously, Clemson, Florida State, 1-2 in the league. We'll see if they're good enough to get face-to-face for the very first time since Dirt.
Yep. The other game today in Louisville features North Carolina and NC State, who are meeting for the first time. And in this year of awkward schedules and things like this, that's a little surprising. But nonetheless, that's the case. NC State's the only team in the ACC that's got three players with 10 or more homers. They've also lost 11 of their last 12, too. So teams may be coming in on a skid, the orange in the pack, trying to get it turned around today in Louisville in the postseason.
I've said it before. I said it earlier today on the show. I don't care what the sport is. Anytime the red and white and the light blue get together, and I don't care what the records are. They could be 1-2. They could be the two doormats in the league, for all I know or care. It doesn't matter, because when those two get together, it will have some excitement to it, one way or the other. Promise you.
Don't forget, winner of Syracuse, Georgia Tech meets Clemson, the top seed, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. From Louisville, and coverage here, of course. And then you'll have games at 11, 1:30, 5, and 7:30 tomorrow from Louisville on ACC Network. So we got full coverage of the ACC Softball Championship, and Jenny Dalton Hill, who was with us earlier. Of course, the championship is on Saturday at noon, assuming no weather delays, obviously,
from Louisville. We offered the 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. slots for games, and they said, no, you morons can handle it. And then when you get done, the professionals will take over. So that's how we've operated. I think it was in just the fact that you realized
we might be getting – Didn't we offer 7 and 9?
We did just to get a day off. We offered 7 a.m. for the game one, 9 a.m. for game two on ACC Network, and they all said, no, we pass. When you guys are done, let us know, and then the ratings will go up on ACC Network. That's how it works.
Oh, my goodness. A quick word of congratulations to our friend Marty Smith, who yesterday was an extension of his contract with ESPN announced. He and Ryan McGee have been good friends to us since we started the show. Of course, they've got their own program over on the other conference network, as we like to say here on this channel, and do a
Wilderness
great job
Lodge.
There. And
over there in
Marty's
the lodge.
One of the most talented cats. Yep. Yeah, they got a lodge now.
They got a set.
They got a whole deal.
I had Marty on the show the other day. We were laughing about our basement. He said, now listen now, we got the lodge. I said, yeah, you got the lodge, but you got to drive to the lodge. And he said, that's a good point, Pack. I said, I just stumbled down the steps. But he is a great guy. And Ryan, he and Ryan doing a tremendous job. So very, very happy for him. Well deserved.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.